Yeah. So when dealing with times where anti-Semitism becomes very, very obvious to us, meaning it's probably always there, but in times where it becomes very, very obvious to us, so we always have to like take a step back and say, okay, so what's our avoda? Right? Our avoda is not to end anti-Semitism, because we never will end anti-Semitism, right? That's obviously not, it's just built into the Bria. It is, you know, I remember when I was teaching in DRS, and there was a terrorist attack in France with a hostage situation. It was this terrible thing, whatever it was, like 10 years ago. I remember a Talmud came over to me, and he said that he's been thinking about how the world around us relates to the Jewish people, and the only logical conclusion you can arrive at is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to hate us. And you know, how else can you explain acts of terror committed against the Jewish people at such alarming rates, and the fact that people don't seem to mind? What he didn't understand is, why would Hashem want that? Right? If Hashem loves us so much, why does he want the rest of the world to hate us? And the reality is, he's obviously correct, I just don't know how to answer that question. I mean, we don't know the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't know why, we don't know. However, what we have to do is try to understand what our response to Jewish suffering has been throughout the ages, and what it should be, and what how the Torah set up the guidelines for what our response should be. So a lot emerges from this week's parsha. First of all, just the very notion that this is our destiny, I think, emerges from this week's parsha, and many of the responses emerge from this week's parsha. When Kadosh Baruch Hu asks Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paro and demand the release of Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Who shall I say sent me?" Right, as if the people were so far removed from any hasaga of the Ribono Shel Olam that if you say God, they're going to have no idea what you're talking about. Right, which is a strange thing. So in the Sefer Pituchei Chosam, he explains that Chosam Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes. What Moshe Rabbeinu was struggling with is that God is a paradigm of truth, and he signs his name, as it were, with truth. Right, so Chosam of Kadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that it's going to be Avraham Yashar, that it's going to be 400 years, that Klal Yisrael is going to be in Galus. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu showing up 210 years later and saying, oh, by the way, God sent me to get to take the people out. What do you mean? Where's the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where's the truthfulness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They're not going to recognize an untruthful God. They're not going to recognize something that doesn't match up. And the answer, of course, is tell them Eke Asher Eke. It's one of the Shemos Hashem that's listed in Shulchan Aruch Yerdei Reish Ayin Vav that you're not allowed to erase or pronounce. A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of times you'll hear people saying Shiurim and Parshavarts and whatever, and they say out those words. So unless you hold there, you're allowed to, in the context of the Dvar Torah, that you're allowed to say the Shem of Adnos or any of the other Shemos Hashem, you probably shouldn't be saying the Shem. Just that's our halachic fit for the. A young man from my shul texted me this week asking. He said that his Rebbe in yeshiva says the shame Erekasherekah, and he pronounces it as it's written. So he said, what is he holding? I'm like, he's holding that not in your day, Rishayin. I'm going to tell you, it's a Yesh Gorsim in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Gra says, and that's the correct Yesh, because that's what it says in the Gemara. Okay, anyway, the Pituchei Chosam writes that the Gematria of Aleph Hey and Yud and Hey is 21. And when you multiply 21 by 21, you arrive at 441. So the Gematria of Eke times Eke is MS. And essentially what Hashem is saying is, don't worry, it's still me. Kadosh Baruch Hu still stands for truth. So where is the truth? So Chazal explained, Rashi quotes, Hashem was saying that Bnei Yisrael are going to leave Mitzrayim now after 210 years, but we're going to make up for the missing suffering throughout the rest of Jewish history. Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying that the 400 years will be completed and exceeded throughout the rest of Jewish history. So yeah, we're going to still suffer plenty, and that's part of the destiny of Klal Yisrael. Now, one could argue that the suffering we experience at the hands of terrorists is the worst kind of suffering from an emotional perspective, right? The Pasuk tells us, Vayamas melech Mitzrayim vayanchu b'nei Yisrael min avoda. The Gra explains that it was only after the death of Paro, before a new king was put into power, that we really cried and groaned from our suffering. Why? Because prior to that, it was part of the law. the suffering of the Jewish people and the enslavement of the Jewish people is part of the law. A law is a system. So it was a systematic anti-Semitism that targeted us in ways that we were familiar with. So we knew, you have a baby boy, this is what's going to happen. You have, you know, you have to work and for no pay. You have to do. We knew exactly what to expect. But in that time of chaos, where there was no ruler, where there was no one to decide, so it could come from anywhere at any time in whichever way, right? Meaning, whoever thought, the way we always think of like of our enemies attacking us is only from what we've seen previously. So we think of suicide bombers. We think of, did we think of, what are they called, the paragliders? Like who would think of these things? And it could come anywhere, anytime. That you know, our enemies would use sexual abuse and other things. It's whatever they decide. I mean, terrorism, in a certain sense, is the worst kind of anti-Semitism to deal with because it's the most unpredictable. It's emotionally so difficult to deal with. People did as they pleased to Klal Yisrael in a way that was more distressing and painful than lawful anti-Semitism. So how do we react? Right, meaning it's clear, it's set up from the beginning, from the birth of the Jewish people, that there's going to be a lot of hatred toward us, and a lot of shibud, and a lot of suffering. So how do we react? So again, we look to the parsha to see some of the necessary reactions. First, we have to recognize our own value. Rashi, at the beginning of the parsha, writes that the Jewish people are counted, lohudia chibason shenim shalul dekochavim. Now, why specifically the stars? So Gemara says that there are Yud Beis Mazalos Barasi Berukiyah. Kadosh Baruch Hu created Yud Beis Mazalos. Well, Chol Mazal Mazal Barasi Lo Shloshim Chayil, that there were 30 Chayil for each Mazal. Well, Kol Chayil V'Chayil Barasi Lo Shloshim Ligoyon. Well, Kol Ligoyon Ligoyon Barasi Lo Shloshim Rihaton. Well, Kol Rihaton V'Rihaton Barasi Lo Shloshim Karton. Well, Kol Karton V'Karton Barasi Lo Shloshim Gistra. Well, Kol Gistra V'Gistra Talisi Bo Shalosh Meos V'Shishim V'Chamisha Alfei Rivo Kochavim. Keneged Yimos HaChama. So a lot of stars. Right? I think I saw a quote in the Sefer Yochim Lachel Tukachinsky did the math, and it came out to how many stars are there in the galaxy. So the number is 10643400000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 And about each of these stars, the Navi says, Lukulam b'shem yikra, that Hashem gave a name to each of them. Meaning the imagery of Klal Yisrael being like the stars is not just that in their vast number, there's just so many, that there are going to be so many of us. We actually come nowhere near the amount of stars that are described by the Gemara. But it's saying that no matter how many there are going to be, each one is Yikar Hashem. Each one is still going to be important. Each one is going to have their own name. Each Jew is going to be able to make a difference. Each Jew is going to feel that, or should feel that, he or she matters. Even when we're compared to the dirt, Ran writes in his drashas, and other Rishonim say this way as well, that the nature of dirt is that for the entire Shivim Shana that a person is on this earth, he tramples all over the dirt. He's walking all over the dirt. He tramples all over the dirt. He's kicking dirt. And then, once Lachar Me'Vesim, or Lachar, whatever, however long a person lives, he goes underneath and the dirt is on top of him. Right? That the destiny of Klal Yisrael is that the nature of the Jewish people is that we're always going to be trampled on, trampled on, trampled on. But then, at the end, whoever's trampling on us is going to end up underneath us. And we're going to be the ones that come out on top. That's what the Ran writes in Drosh Aleph. You can learn Drosh Aleph nowadays because art school did a really great job. So it's like a very learnable, accessible sefer. So once we recognize our value, so the next step is then to motivate ourselves to take positive steps. So we often think that we can't accomplish anything because of whatever circumstances we have in life. That, yeah, I was going to be something, but I have too many college classes to really accomplish anything, or I'm just a kid, or my wife won't let me accomplish anything because she's so demanding, or I have this job and it's causing me to... So the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Vav, tells us that true tshuva is ba'osi isha, ba'osu perek, ba'osu makom, which obviously the way the Rambam understands in the simple reading of the Gemara means that you go through the same yetzer hara, the same taiva, the same issue again, and this time through the avera. However, there's a sefer called Shomer Emunim. I don't know, I gave this drasha like 10 years ago. I don't remember where I found these weird svarim. I mean, svarim that I never actually heard of. I don't know where it's like that. But anyway, the sefer Shomer Emunim suggests that this means that when we say we can't do tshuva, you know, we have all sorts of excuses. One guy says, I can't do tshuva because of my wife. So Hashem tells us, ba'osa isha. With the exact wife that you have, you can be better. I can't become Baal Tshuva because it's not the right time. Hashem says, ba'osa zman. No, at this time, it's the right time. I can't do tshuva because of where I live. No, ba'osa makom. And so Naftali Amsterdam once commented to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that if he only had the Shagas Aryeh's brain and the Yisod B'Shor Shavodah's heart and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's midos, he'd be a great Eved Hashem. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter responded that with Naftali's brain and Naftali's heart and Naftali's traits, he's expected to still be a great Eved Hashem. It's fundamental to Avodas Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us to be us. The Alter Rebbe Vardik once commented that he never asked himself whether something was possible. You know, when something needs to get done, he never asked whether something was possible. He just asked, was it required? Is this something that Hashem wants me to do? Because if he does, anything's possible for Hashem. If it's required, then Hashem makes it possible. Rashi of Parshat Tzavim, the Chumash says, Lo b'shamayim, Rashi says that if it were b'shamayim, we'd be chayiv to go to Shemayim to retrieve it. So even though it's impossible, you can't travel to heaven, but that's what the expectation would be. And since we only have to do whatever we can do, and Hashem will give us the necessary etzlacha, so then you do. There's a friend of mine told me that he has a close friend who lives in Queens, regular guy, has a regular job, you know, sends his kids to yeshivas. And since October 7th, he's raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for boots for Chayalim. We didn't have adequate boots for the conditions that they're going to be facing. And he just keeps sending duffel bags, and he's become like a Meshugal Davrechad. And so this Shabbos, he's going to be coming to North Woodmere to speak in all the shuls. But he lives in Queens. How's he coming to North Woodmere? No, he's not going to leave his family for Shabbos. At 2 a.m., he's going to start his walk from Queens to get to the shuls in time for Shacharis, so that he could speak at all the shuls and then walk back. I mean, like, mamish, you know, a person, lo b'shamayim he, but if it is b'shamayim, then you go to shamayim. You could do anything. A person can accomplish it. We don't ask ourselves, is it possible? Is it required? And then the final step, after we recognize our value and we motivate ourselves for positive behavior, is we have to realize that part of that positive behavior always has to include Torah. Right? Paro threw Moshe into the water specifically, according to the Gemara in Sota, because he saw the downfall of the Jewish people would be through water. What he failed to realize is that the downfall would not come about because of the water, but because of our inability to properly access water. Ein mayim ela Torah. That our success and failure is always going to be dependent on Torah. So, again, these are just three of the messages that emerge from the parasha about what we do about the fact that they... What do we do? We can't stop them from hating us. We're never going to stop them. It's part of our destiny. It's part of the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that 400 years were never filled, and we're paying it in spades throughout all the generations with plenty of ribbis. But we have to recognize that we matter, that each of us matters, that each of us can do something. We have to realize that even if something seems undoable, something seems beyond our ability, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do it, then it becomes within our abilities. And we have to make sure that our avoda includes a certain emphasis on Talmud Torah. I'll just add that the Torah world yesterday, 2 days ago, lost a very, very critical tzaddik in the Torah world. Someone who's, you hope when someone of this stature, Rav Matzio Solomon, goes up to Shemayim, and we always say a person should be a Melitz Yosher, but you would hope Misa Sadikim is Mechaper, and whatever it is that Klal Yisrael needs a kapara for, so Kadosh Baruch Hu takes such a tzaddik, it should be a great kapara. I don't know if any of you, anyone here ever meet Rav Matzio? So we used to go in DRS, we used to take an 11th grade trip to... Whatever, it was a long trip. One of the stops of the trip was to Lakewood, and we'd see the yeshiva, and Rabbi Aaron Cutler would show us around the yeshiva. Sometimes Rabbi Malkiel would talk to us, and we always, but one of the highlight was always the highlight of the Lakewood part of the trip. I'm not talking about like the paintball and everything else, but the highlight was we'd go to Rabbi Matzio's house, and he'd sit us all around the table, and he would tell us Torah. He would talk to the guys, and it was just a very special experience because you saw a person who understood people, who understood what it means to shteig in avodas Hashem, to want to grow in avodas Hashem, and to give people the tools of how to grow in avodas Hashem. Now, one of the points that he made year in and year out, he almost always said the same bar because we always came before Shavuos, so we always said Matan Torah bar. So he would always say that, that the Medrash tells us that Baruch Hu came to each of the nations before giving offering Klal Yisrael the Torah, and he offered them the Torah, and they said Maksivba, and each one said, Kodesh Baruch Hu would pick the hardest thing for that nation, and then they would say, well, that, I can't do that, that's impossible. Right, so he always said that it was a great way of thinking about things. He said, "Mistama." So what did Klal Yisrael say? We said Nasiv Nishma, right? We don't need to hear Maksivba. But Mistama, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu came armed with something impossible for each of the other nations, right? He came. He probably had an answer for it. He was probably ready for our Maksivba. Like we would have said Maksivba, and he was going to say something that for us would have sounded impossible. And we never would have been able to believe that it's doable. So he said, what is that? What do you think it was that Hashem had in his back pocket in the Maksivba? It's a fascinating question. So Rabbi Shai Shachter told me, I think from one of the Gerer Rebbes, that no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give us something. He told us that to be Magbil the Har, that you're not allowed to go beyond a certain point. And Jews aren't good at that, right? I mean, you put the police barrier and say, I just put my Hatzola jacket on and I'll for me it doesn't apply. Rav Matzio said what Kadosh Baruch Hu was prepared with was Lashon Hara. You're not supposed to talk about other people. You're supposed to have a Shabbos table every single week, three times on Shabbos, where you get together with your family and you sit down sometimes for hours at a time, and you should not say a negative word about another person. We would have said, impossible, can't be. It's just not in us to do something like that. Elamai, he said, so what was the answer? And what really was the answer to the other nations? Do they really have the capacity to do all the things? And the answer is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us something, then he also gives us the capacity to make it happen. So Rav Matzio told the Talmidim, you think, he was telling the 11th graders in DRS, you think that you can't do whatever it is in Avodas Hashem that you're struggling with. I can't have Kavanah B'Tefillah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that you're supposed to have Kavanah B'Tefillah, along with that comes the gift of the ability to have Kavanah B'Tefillah. I can't do Talmud Torah. I can't learn Gemara. I can't. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you you're supposed to learn Torah, along with that comes the gift of the ability to learn Torah. Lo b'shamayim hi, but along with that comes the, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you you have to go to Shemayim, he gives you the capacity to go to Shemayim. It's mamish this idea that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that each of us is special, that we're a star in the galaxy, and we each have our own shame, and that we don't need special talents to accomplish something and to do something great for Klal Yisrael. And this is what Matzio did. He built up people. He gave people the confidence and the recognition of who they are. One by one, I mean, he gave these amazing vadim. You should read some of the svarim that of his vadim that are out there, just his insight into human psychology and to understanding of how Ben Torah works and what the Ben Torah's hang-ups are and how to work on a person's avodas Hashem. It's extraordinary, extraordinary. There used to be, when I was in yeshiva, there were a bunch of guys, I think Rav Matzio came to America right around the time that I was in yeshiva. So he was a mashgiach in Gateshead and came to Lakewood, and the Vachtvogel brought him in as a co-mashgiach, I think, at the time, and then ultimately he took a... So I think at the time there was a chevra that used to come from yeshiva every Thursday night, from our yeshiva every Thursday night, and we'd go to Rav Matzio's house, and they had a musar vad with him every late at night at Thursday night. What's his shaychus to YU? Why does he have to entertain YU guys in his house on Thursday night? Guys asked to learn. Bnei Torah wanted to grow in Avodas Hashem. So his home was open to anyone who wanted to grow in Avodas Hashem. And if he could show them that they have the ability to become greater in their Avodas Hashem, so then he was willing to do that. Chaval Dab, a tremendous loss for Klal Yisrael. There should be a Melech Yosher, and we should appreciate those teachings specifically about our own capacity to make a difference for Klal Yisrael. Okay.